You're listening to WPSU's StoryCorps. This week, WPSU is bringing you oral history recordings from veterans. Today, Greg Johnson talks with his friend Colonel Lewis Watt about his time flying helicopters in Vietnam.
You did two tours in Vietnam. Your first tour was in helicopters, then the second in fixed wing. I am supposing that the Hilo tour was more challenging in view of the fact that you were much more exposed to enemy ground forces. You were awarded 29 air medals as well as the Distinguished Flying Cross. Can you tell us a little bit about your combat experiences?
Yeah, I always I won't say I talk about that a lot, but it's let me throw this out, that I am not reluctant to talk about these things. And it was fun to watch new pilots arrive in the air group and initially laughing at us and then realizing that the eight of us were keeping these old beasts flying when there was no way these things belonged in combat because of their age and their lack of capability. So we got a lot of points from our colleagues just because we got in these things day after day, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours of flying. It was not uncommon. Mostly resupply, occasionally hauling wounded out, and on the really unpleasant occasions, what we call the permanent routines, hauling body bags out. The DFC day, I was returning from what I hoped and thought was my last sortie of the day, and we were tired. I got a call from our ops guy, and I remember his first words. He says, "Hey, junk man," which was our call sign, "I'm going to make you tell you about a mission, and you can turn this one down if you want." And he talked about an emergency resupply, and I said, "No, we're not going to turn that down. We'll take it." So we made 5 round trips into a I think a battalion-sized organization that was surrounded, and they were in trouble, and it was getting dark. So we got them their ammunition, their food, and got a few of their wounded out. It was a good day, and I was proud to have done that work.
For your first tour, you were married. Would you like to talk about the circumstances of your return from the war?
There's a book called Matterhorn by Carl Marlantis, and a couple of sentences in there that I've never heard anybody else bring up, but he talked about in those years, no self-respecting woman from the Northeast would be seen dead with a Marine. But we got together, and she gave it a good try, and we stayed together for about a year after I came back. But she just wasn't comfortable being married to a career Marine. And I should throw that out, that this was my career, and I was committed to it. So my attitude about things was very different from the draftees and you know, four-year guys.
When you look back at your service in Vietnam, what basic thought comes to mind?
I think the listeners need to know that that was my profession. And we used to joke, you know, I can't use the language here again, but it ain't much of a war, but it's the only one we got. I mean, I was proud to be there. There was some stunning leadership errors made back in the States, and the war was very poorly reported on. People can imagine what names I'd like to mention here who were lying through their teeth with their helmet straps hanging down and microphone in face, especially about the Tet Offensive. We could have won that war handily. That part I'm a little, bitter's not the right word. It's just annoying that we didn't set out to win that war.
Colonel Lewis Watt and Greg Johnson. Watt was in the Marines for over 25 years. Johnson was also in the Marines as an aviator. You can listen to other StoryCorps interviews on our website at wpsu.org/StoryCorps. With WPSU StoryCorps, I'm Emily Reddy.